Well, of course, I mentioned at the start of the programme that this is the 30th Willie Clancy Summer School, and of course it's appropriate, I suppose, that we would hear a tune on tonight's programme from the man whose great legacy is celebrated here every year at the beginning of July in Milltown Malbay. This is Willie Clancy with the jig Langston's Pony. Fine music there from Willie Clancy. Nipi Briolan are working at the moment on a collection of the music of Seamus Ennis, and the two people working on the collection are Pat Mitchell and Jimmy O'Brien Moran, and Pat joins us here on the programme tonight. Pat, tell us a bit about what's involved in this obviously very big project.
It really is. We're not just looking at, I don't know how many people know I'm a piper, but we're not just looking at the piping, because Ennis was such a pivotal figure in lots of different areas. So we're looking at publishing as much of his piping as we can get hold of, the whistle playing, the songs, the stories, the laborious numbers. The first job that we had to do was to actually track down what was there available. There are an amazing number of recordings. I've stuck a database together, about 1,000 odd recordings. We've ended up with references to 250 tunes, and thanks to God I've got 200 of them in my hand at the moment. I'm working away on those. There's quite a few more on the way as well. 126 songs, you know, about a third of those in Irish. A tremendous output. So far, about 40 odd whistle tunes and about 20 stories. So it is a big amount of stuff to actually have together.
Has anything particularly struck you about the nature of what you've collected so far?
Well, I suppose the wide range of it. In ways, people suggested when we started off here that he had quite a small repertoire. But I mean, this is an amazingly wide repertoire. The fact is, of course, that most times when he sat down, he tended to play the same tunes. But when you hear the recordings, he'd sit down today and he'd play his half dozen favourite tunes, but then he'd play three or four other tunes. Sit down tomorrow, his half dozen favourite tunes again, but three or four different other tunes. So when you get them all together, you start building up a picture of somebody who had a very broad range of material to hand. And of course, the real important thing about Seamus Ennis, from the piper's point of view, was the style. Mm-hmm. He is a living link to a particular style of piping, and it's a style that's very attractive in many, many ways. You're talking in many ways about pure music, not just Irish music, but ranges of tones, you know, similar to what your art musician would be looking at. You're talking about rhythms, both on the chanter and on the regulators, similar to what maybe your jazz musician might be thinking of. Very, very striking.
I know you're interested, perhaps, in people who might have other material that you haven't come across yet from Seamus.
Absolutely. Now, the type of stuff that we'd be interested in is where somebody recorded him directly. preferably, if there's anybody around with recording, say, from the early 50s, he really was in tremendous form then. The recording is made in Milltown Malway here, 1958. Oh, they were tremendous, real gems. So if it happened that anybody had material they'd recorded directly from, that would be wonderful to get hold of. Most people I know have copies, and we really have all of those at the moment. The other material that's very interesting is some people filmed him. So you had films made in the early days, say 8mm amateur films. Some of those could be very, very important, even if they don't have sound. Just to look at the way he held the chanter, he sat up there, the posture of his hands on the chanter. I saw a program on RTE recently, and there was a tremendous amount of information to be had from it.
Just purely from looking at it?
Purely by looking at it and listening to the way in which he produced the sound. Obviously, the RTE material had the sound as well, which was great. But it was the late, late special. He played a slow air, and the amount of information I got from that was unbelievable. And all of that can be passed on to people, you see.
Mm-hmm. How will this add to the reputation of Seamus Ennis' work?
It's interesting, I suppose, just to show the quality of his work, to show the detail that went into the actual performance when he was in good form. Now, we have evidence in two directions. He wrote out many tunes himself, and he was very meticulous in writing them out. So, for instance, going into the books, he wrote out what we would normally think of as a triplet, that and lookity there, you see? But he wrote out a demi-semi, dot a demi-semi quaver, then a demi-semi quaver, then... And, you know, you look at this and it appears incredibly complex. But I've been using some nice software to write it. That's what he plays.
Mm-hmm.
So the man knew exactly what he was doing. He had a picture of it in his mind, and he produced that on the instrument. And really, that's the thing that's needed to produce good music from anybody. Control of your instrument, be able to produce a range of tones, be able to make the instrument do what you want it to do, not have it running away with you. You know, that like happens to so many of us.
What will be done with this material when it's all gathered and cataloged?
Okay, well, it's going to be published. The aim is, and it should happen, there's no reason why it shouldn't, we are fairly well on target. The aim is to have all of it published by October of 2003, which would be the 21st anniversary of the man's death. But it will be quite different in that it will include all the different areas in which he worked, the songs, the storytelling, the whistle playing. But the piping will be different as well, in that we're writing it out in full and including the regulator accompaniment. And his work on the regulators, of course, was excellent, so it will be extremely useful as a learning tool and as an archival piece for the future. People will know what the man was at when they hear it. They can stand and wonder and listen to it. They'll be able to see it as well.
And we certainly look forward very much to hearing it and to reading it when it is published. Pat, thanks very much for joining us tonight.
Thank
and we're going to have a taste of the music of Seamus Ennis now. And this is Johnny Cope. Thank you. That's Jenny Cope there from Seamus Ennis, and our next guest here in Roisin's House tonight is Liz Doherty. Liz released a CD there a couple of months ago. You heard it on the programme, I think, a few weeks ago. The CD is Queer Imagination. Liz, where did the name of the CD come from?
Well, it actually came from Billy Robinson, who was engineering it, taking a hand at me. Every day he'd shake his head and go, "What? You're going to do what?" "Oh, Doherty, you've queer imagination." And so that became the catchphrase of the recording process.
Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing since, because I know you were working for many years in the University in Cork with the traditional music faculty there. What have you been doing since you left?
Well, I took a sabbatical after 15 years in Cork, and I took a sabbatical and went to Australia and went to Shetland and never went back to Cork. And I'm living back up in Donegal, and I'm doing loads of academic freelance work, teaching here and there, and tons of playing. So happy out now, playing the fiddle day and night. Great.
What sort of, have you been on tour? Where have you been recently playing?
Well, I had 3 months in Australia earlier this year, and we did a few gigs around the country in the last couple of weeks, and we have another few gigs coming up now to just kind of promote the album and whatever, and then we're off to the States for a couple of months and see what happens after that.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck with it. Tell us who's playing with you and what you're going to play.
Right, this is Dave O'Neill on guitar, and we're going to play 3 reels. The first one is called Dougie MacDonald, the second one is The Flood on the Road to Glenties, and the third one is a tune that I learned from Johnny Doherty called The Spirits of Wine.
Lovely. Goodbye, Liv. Thank you. Lovely, lovely stuff there. Liz Gardner from Bunclana and Dave O'Neill from Canberra in Australia. Thanks a million for those reels. Well, the Westbridge Inn is on Main Street in Milltown, Melbourne, but if you happen to wander in there during the Willie Clancy week, you'd be forgiven, I suppose, for thinking that you might have walked into a pub in Slieve Lochla, because it's there that you'll hear polkas and slides and see sets being danced for the entire week. And we were there earlier in the week and recorded this set of tunes from Johnny Leary, Billy Clifford and Connie Connell. From that corner of Milltown Malbay, which has become Slieve Lochla for the Willie Clancy Summer School, the Westbridge Inn, you heard Johnny Leary there, Billy Clifford and Connie O'Connell together. And from Dublin via Florida, I think would probably be the best way to put it, so you have father and daughter James and Sarah Kelly, and they're going to play a selection of jigs for us. ¶¶ James, I said in the introduction there from Dublin via Florida, how often do you get to come home this time?
Yeah, usually once a year, Anya, and usually for the Willie Tansy Summer School, and the chance to then spend some time up in Dublin and visit my family and my relations back in West Clare as well.
Do you think it's important for people, say, who do go to live abroad and that, to come back on a regular basis, I suppose, to come back to the well, if you like?
I think it might depend on where you come from. The Irish people that I've met in America, I suppose all of them are homesick in their own way, and they remember Ireland and they do want to come back. But I live in Florida and Miami, and I, for instance, was a shop owner for 6 years, and I met, of course, in Miami there's a lot of people from Central America and South America, and I met a lot of people who were able to look me right in the eye and say, I never want to go back to where I come from. And I was very sad, actually, because I never felt that way. I was looking at them thinking, well, I definitely want to go back to where I come from. And because of their own circumstances, they wouldn't like to go back, you know.
Florida is, I suppose, an unusual place for, I mean, there aren't as many Irish people, and certainly I wouldn't imagine very many Irish musicians around the state of Florida.
Not in Miami. But there are musicians in Florida. Florida is the sixth state to claim Irish ancestry in the whole U.S., and for instance, Sean Keane's son Porrick lives in Fort Lauderdale, fiddle player, and they're the Dillons, Roisin and Eamon Dillon, a piper and fiddle player from Belfast, and Mark Kane from Belfast, and several others, but not a lot really, to be quite honest, not a lot.
I would imagine then it would be quite difficult for someone like Sarah growing up and learning traditional music almost on her own.
That's right, with her father killing her, with a very impatient teacher, you know. But sadly, I wish that she had the opportunities that I had growing up, but it's almost impossible to duplicate over in another place.
Absolutely. Are you heading straight back now when the Willie Tansy week is over?
No, next week. I'm going to do a tour next week with Artie McGlynn, mainly in the west of Ireland, and then we have one night in Dublin at the place called the Cobblestone in King Street.
Now, I know there was a very special afternoon here earlier in the week when tribute was paid to the fiddle player Joe Ryan from Ina, who's just about, after sitting in beside you here, and I think he's going to play a few tunes with you. Of course, he was a great friend of your father's.
Great friend of my father's and great friend of my family's, and Joe and my father, of course, played together for many, many years in Dublin on the weekends, and they were together in the Castle Cayley band. And it was a great privilege for not just myself, but certainly the other members of my family and many other people to have a chance to be exposed to people like Joe Ryan and others, special people, special musicians.
Well, we certainly say congratulations to Joe, and I think you're going to play a selection of reels for us together.
Right. The Rabble. We're going to start off with the Rabble Tanky Yarn, and we can't think of the name of the second one.
Thank you.
Joe, thanks indeed to Joe Ryan there and to James Kelly. Well, another new CD that was released within the past couple of weeks features the singer Tim Dennehy. Tim, originally from South Kerry, but you've been living here just outside Milltown for a good few years now, I think.
I think 83 or 84 we moved down from Dublin, from Lanskelligs and Carsevine originally, but it's lovely to be here, and I suppose Clare and Kerry have always had a kind of a connection with each other anyway, it's particularly great to be living in Clare and feeling a kind of a tradition that's so vibrant, you know.
Now, I know that you're going back to your roots with the song that you're going to sing for us tonight from the new album.
Yeah, this is a song from Kells, just outside Carsevine. In fact, this man's people are still there. He was a young lad of 18 years of age, and he took part in the Fenian Rising, and the Carsevine Fenians rose out. They didn't realise that the Rising had been cancelled. Support hadn't reached them, so they rose out, and of course they were captured almost immediately. This lad was just 18 years of age, and he was transported to Van Diemen's Land. It's the Ballad of Johnny Golden, written by Saxon Clifford.
Lovely.
Lancarry sons, remember well the men who marched alone, as they tramped the hills and mountains to bring Kathleen her throne. 'Twas in 1867 when O'Connor in command, and by his side the man who dined out in Van Diemen's Land. First to Kell Station we drew rein to face Cole's guarding wall, and to take from him his rifle and his powder and his ball. He said, "This is a bad night's work for any rebel clan, for you'll all face transportation into Van Diemen's Land." They said, "We do not fight alone, for Ireland is aflame, and men are marching o'er the hills to spoil a Saxon game. Like Mitchell and like Smith O'Brien, we'll fight and we'll take our stand. And if we fail, we will risk the jail or face Van Diemen's Land." At Runkill then, beside the bridge, they shot a policeman down, and searching in his pocket they found a message from the Crown. O'Connor and Dan grimly said, "We can't fight now as planned, and may God keep us in his care far from Van Diemen's Land." "O Corydon and Massey, where are you all today? Your heart you sold for English gold when you sold their lives away. In Tralee Town the judge looked down upon that rebel band, and he sentenced Johnny Golden to far Van Diemen's Land. O'Reilly, Griffin and Donovan, O'Connell and O'Shane, Conway, Sheehan and O'Brien, their names are strong today. Their masters in their own house now, they plow and they till their land. But brave young Johnny Golden, he lies in Van Diemen's Land. For he sleeps today where the lonely waves sweep over Australia's shore, and never again he saw the glen of his lovely sweet Filemore. But Filemore sons, remember well that gallant Fenian band, and forget not Johnny Golden, who lies in Van Diemen's Land."
Thank Tim Gilmore, but the Ballad of Johnny Golden there, and that's from Tim's new CD, The Blue Green Door. Well, we talked a little bit earlier on about the two late Illan Pipers, Willie Clancy and Seamus Ennis, of course, and every year at the piping recital here at the Willie Clancy Summer School, we hear some of the finest young piping talent, and this is a great, great young piper from Dublin now, Mikey Smith, playing in the community hall here in Milltown Malbay last Wednesday night, and Mikey introduces the tunes himself.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to start off with a couple of jigs. The first tune is called Six Penny Money, which I got from a recording of Seamus Ennis. And the second is a tune called Pagin of Rafferty. I've not clue where I picked that one up. Don't know.
Great music indeed there from Mikey Smith from Dublin, great, great young Illan Piper, and that was recorded at the Illan Piper recital in the community hall here in Milltown Malbay that took place last Wednesday night. And speaking of Illan Pipes and Illan Pipe Making, the Peabody Illan are running, as we've been asked to mention, an all-day reed making workshop in the Peabody Illan's headquarters in Henrietta Street in Dublin, and that takes place the last Saturday of this month. That's Saturday the 27th of July. Well, tomorrow and Sunday are the last 2 days of Skull Sour Willie Clancy. Tomorrow morning, the last last morning of the workshops and classes, and then tomorrow night one of the finest traditional music concerts that you're likely to hear takes place in the hall here, the community hall again in Milltown Marble, starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And the final official event of the summer school is of course Afrin Margin Bonegig and Dehe Plug Le Cor Hule Fui Stewart Father E. Rieda. Well, just before we say goodnight to you, a couple of people that I want to say a very special thank you to who helped us tonight, our sound engineers here, Tony Lyons and Philip McDonough. A special thanks to Roisin White and to all her neighbours here in the Crescent in Milltown Malbay for their very nice hospitality indeed. And of course to Marisha O'Rohine and the directors of Skull Sour, Willie Clancy, for the great welcome that they give, not just to us but to the thousands of musicians and singers and dancers and visitors here to Milltown Malbay every year. We're going to finish as we started with music from Sliabh Lochra. Aoife O'Keefe is back with us on fiddle again, Paddy O'Connor on accordion, and they're joined once again by Jerry McNamara on bouzouki, and they're going to play us out with a selection of polkas. I'll just say, good evening, Michaela Rees and Jackson Chahogan, Bunsha, Anya Hensley, Slonabove.